One more day on Bedikas Chametz. Tomorrow we're going to do maybe Hasei Ben Yayin. We'll just spend a few more minutes on the laws of Bedikas Chametz. And you all know the bracha is Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah Sevetzivanu Al Bi'ur Chametz. There's a question, what bracha should you make? Livo'er Chametz or Al Bi'ur Chametz? When do we use the word Al? When do we use the word Lamed? Lahalik Ner Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah Sevetzivanu Al We say Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot Sivanu Lehadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Why don't we say Al Hadlakas Neros Shel Chanukah? There's a lot of Torah on this. I don't even prepare for this. But the bottom line is we make a bracha Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot Al Oyver Lasiyas. Okay, so Al Biur Chametz. We make that bracha, which means it's the future tense. And the bracha is burning. We're making the bracha on the bi'ur, the destruction of chametz. So it's very, the question all the mafarshim ask is why do we make the bracha on bi'ur chametz when right now we're doing a bedika? We should make the bracha on bedikas chametz. Why not make that? Why should that l'chayro should be the correct bracha? So the basic answer is because the purpose of the bedika is to destroy it. It gives the wrong message. If you make the bracha, the bracha would be al bedikas chametz, you would get the impression that when you find the chametz, oh, very good, I search for the chametz, and that's it. You would forget to actually destroy. The goal is tashbisu, you shall obliterate. So we right away focus on what the goal is. We're goal-oriented people. Pesach is the new beginning. In the new beginning, the new beginning, we have to focus on where we're heading. We're heading to find the chametz and to destroy the chametz. And they are nafka minis. Because we make the bracha al bi'ur chametz, what happens if you forget to make a bracha? It can happen. You start doing the bedikah, and then you realize you forgot to make the bracha. So if there's more what to check, you still have more places to check, so you can make the bracha at any point in time. Let's say you've completed the entire bedikah, and you realize that you forgot to make a bracha. So then there are different opinions what you should do. Some hold you should go and you should eat. You should bring yourself to a new chiyuv. You should take chametz, go out to the store, buy chametz, sit down at your dining room table and have a chametz stick a meal. Now the dining room is chametz stick because I just ate chametz. So now, the dining room is full of chametz, even though I did a bedikah 10 minutes ago. Now let me do a bedikah again. And I will make a bracha. In other words, you should bring yourself to a chiyuv to make a new bedika so you can make the bracha. So again, if a person forgets to make the bracha and he searches the entire house, and then you realize I forgot to make a bracha and there's nothing more to check. I already checked the entire house. Lar haner, you should bring yourself to be required to make a new bedika. How do you make yourself required to make a new bedika? You should sit down and eat something that's chametz. And that way there'll be crumbs.
And if you make yourself clumsy and drop the chametz on the floor?
If you make it clumsy, right, you should be a little bit clumsy and there'll be chametz on the floor. So now you'll have an obligation to do a bedika a second time and you'll make the bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos al bi'ur chametz. Now what happens if that's one halacha. Let's say it's ready the next morning and you realize by the next morning, you know what, I forgot to do bedikah and it's now too late to do bedikah. There's no chametz for sale. It's ready, it's the Zman Isser, you're not allowed to eat chametz. The fourth hour already has arrived when I'm not allowed to eat chametz and there's nowhere for me to make a bedikah. So then the halacha is you make the bracha as you burn it. Since the bracha is al bi'ur chametz, which means to destroy the chametz, so you can make the bracha the morning of Erev Pesach right before you put the chametz into the fire, al bi'ur chametz. Okay, that is one halacha. Now, next shail is the various mitzvah game. Let's talk about going in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, it's not everyone is a gabbai, not everyone is a rabbi, but is there a chiyuv to do a bedika in the base for the gabbai of the shul or the rabbi of the shul, the shamus of the shul to make a bedika in the Beis HaKnesses? And the answer is absolutely yes. Question, does the one who does the bedikah in the Beis HaKnesses, does he make a bracha? So the Mishnah Berurah uses a very unusual expression, v'yecholin levarich. If you want, you can make a bracha. A lot of the commentators, they're very disturbed. You never ever find the Mishnah Berurah anywhere using an expression like this, v'yecholin, if you want, you can make a bracha. This is a unique, one of a kind. When it comes to a bracha, either you're chayiv to make a bracha, or you're not allowed to make a bracha. There's no such thing in the middle, the choylin. If you want, you can make a bracha. It's not clear. It's a very big machlekes apoiskim. Should the gabbai make a bracha when he does the bedika in the Beis HaKnesses? Now, what are the issues? Issue number one is, the Beis HaKnesses usually is owned or is given over to the tzibur. If it's given over to the tzibur, how much chametz are you going to find? Even if you'll find a significant amount of chametz, if there are many members in the shul, we have to assume, according to halacha, that the community owns the Beis HaKnesses, and all of the chametz that is found in the shul is the property of all of the members. If you were to take all of that chametz and divide it among all of the people in the shul, it would be less than a kazayas and less than a shavah prut, less than a kazayas for each member of the shul. What are you going to find? Let's say in this shul, what are you going to find? You're going to do bedika. You're going to find maybe from an ufruf. You're going to find a pinichu. You're going to find someone went and they a kid stashed away a bag somewhere else. Okay, so let's say you find 1, 2, 3 bags. How many members are in there in the shul? There are many members. There are many yam in the shul. So all the chametz that's found is now jointly owned by, let's say, 200 families. When you divide the pekel that you find among 200 families, there is certainly going to be less than a kazayis for each single person.
So who's the oiver if you don't
think? So no one is oiver because everyone is mafka the chametz. The bottom line is no one's going to be oiver because anyone who's going to be oiver, no one's going to be oiver. That's exactly part of the point. Since it's not possible really to be oiver, that's exactly the point. Since it's not really possible for any one person to be oiver on Baal Yeiroh, Baal Yeimotze, on a Beis HaKnesses, therefore, you can't make a bracha.
So, Moshe, why do you have to do the
bracha? Because Chometz also b'mashu, and it's a Mokoyim Shederech Shemachnisin Boi Chometz. And there's the chash that maybe on Pesach you will find the Guluska Yafa, you'll find, a child will find, open up one of the shtenders, open up, he'll find a bag, a pekel from before Yom Tov, and he'll start eating it, and maybe he'll give it to his father, and his father will forget it's Pesach today, he'll think it's Sukkot, and he'll take the chametz and eat it as well. So you have to do a bedikah because a shul is a makam shemachnisim by chametz. But technically speaking, in your home, if you don't do a bedikah, or even if you don't do bedikah, you may indeed find the kazayis. That's likely. You'll find the kazayis. And since you are the sole owner of the chametz, you're the balabas, you're the balabayis of your home, and you find the kazayis, you're the only one who owns that kazayis. And you will then be over when you discover that kazayis. If you delay, you dilly-dally for one moment and do not destroy it, you will be over on Baal Yeirohe, Baal Yeimotze. There is real potential in a private home for the balabayis to transgress Baal Yeirohe, Baal Yeimotze, because the owner of a home is a single person, it's one family, and all he needs to be over is a kazayis. And if he does not do a bedikah, there may be a kazayis. And if there is a kazayis that is discovered on Pesach and it is not destroyed immediately, then he is over at that very moment, Baal Yeirohe, Baal Yeimotze. But in the Beis HaKnesses, anything that's left in the shul, the assumption is it is owned by the entire tzibur. If there is going to be found the box, a challah from Shalashuris, that was not thrown in the garbage, who owns that bulka? The entire shul, all of the members, all of the paying members, even not the paying members, anyone that the tzibur, most, the attitude today, and most what they can see today, is that we give the shul to the tzibur, and we expect you to pay membership dues. Even if you don't pay membership dues, we still let you walk in, we still let you daven, we'll even let you daven for the amma if there's no other chiyuv. That is the attitude. The attitude is we give the shul to the tzibur. If we give the shul to the tzibur, everyone to some degree has ownership, to a degree, in what is in the shul. So if there's going to be chametz found in the shul, who owns that chametz? The entire shul. The entire shul, no one owns a kazayas. If no one owns a kazayis, so even if you would not do bedikah and you would discover chametz on Pesach and the Beis HaKnesses, it's impossible for everyone in the shul to be oiver on Baal Yeirah, Baal Yeimotze, because my ownership of this bulka that we found on Pesach is less than the kazayis, because I have to share it with the entire shul. So since there's no potential for there to be Baal Yeirah, Baal Yeimotze, many suggest you can't make a bracha when you do a bedikah in the Beis HaKnesses. What? So the gava, it should say kol chamira. The question is, does it even work? Because how could you say kol chamira? We'll get that in a few moments for someone else. There's no shlichus for kol chamira. We'll come to that in a few moments, but the minig is he does. The minig is that the gabbai, he's entrusted, he's under his authority. I'm the gabbai, the shamis, the rabbi. It's my responsibility. The people have given the responsibility to the mevatel, so it doesn't hurt to say kol chamira. Yeah.
Ultimately, aren't there people who do own the shul? I mean,
today, yes. Today, we live in a new generation. That's the pasuk talk about. If it's a privately owned shul, then yes. Then the one who privately owns the shul has to make it because it becomes his property. You have a rabbi, shtibuch, all the shtibuch today, owned by, they have, the rabbi lives upstairs and downstairs is the shul. It's privately owned. Then yes, the rabbi can make a bracha because he indeed owns all the chametz that's found in the shul. It's his bias. That is correct. And that's the true problem. Most shuls in this community, I don't know most, but many shuls in this community are indeed privately owned.
Yeah.
And in a chanami, the one who is the owner, he's mechuyev to make a bedika with a bracha. But let's talk about this shul, or Young Israel, or yeah.
When shul gets the bill, somebody but to go over to one of the members of the shul and say, "You pay the bill." He's not going to pay it. Somebody here is going to pay the bill.
No,
there is some sort of responsibility. If the shul makes money, the shul doesn't make money.
But the money is collected from the tzibur. Many shuls are not privately owned, even today.
I know they're not. But there is a certain amount of ownership there because
who's the owner? Who's the owner?
If somebody sues the shul, somebody's going to pay.
It's a corporation. It's an entity. It's not. No, there's no limited liability. There's no individuals going to go clear their bank account for a shul. If Rachmana listen, someone trips in front of a shul,
right.
So they're going to go clean out members. The government's going to come after every
that's
private member. Sell your house.
Pay.
No one's going to pay.
The
And if, let's say there's no insurance. A shul can open that insurance.
They won't let you have.
They won't give you. Okay.
Yeah,
so let's say the insurance turns out it's no good.
Employment insurance.
Well, let me ask you guys: What happens if the shul doesn't pay the bills for the insurance? Hey, they get their permit. They put up their sign that the government gives permission. But what happens if the shul they don't pay their insurance bill and then the insurance is canceled and the government doesn't know about it and Rachmana Litzlan someone trips and he sues the shul for $1 billion. The shul they'll sell the shul, so the shul's only worth $1 million. So where is all the other money going to come from? They're not going to go after the people, the members.
No, but is there a difference? The chief operating officer is responsible for the.
But not personally.
So they have to ensure that everything is they have
okay.
Insurance and if they don't have, then he's responsible. He could be fine.
He could be fine, but they're not going to clean. They're not going to make him sell his house.
Nonprofit organizations, the board of directors members have to have liability insurance.
Okay. All right. So I take.
Okay.
Okay.
And had a relation from the health department, and I had to go for a hearing, and then they explained to me, we have to hire, and it was my responsibility to ensure everything is correct. If not, I could be put in jail.
Okay, but would they hold you accountable?
Criminally, yeah.
But they would hold you. They would require you to give up your assets to pay the bills. There's limits. There's limits. Okay. It's a criminal. It's a criminal.
This we hire a person to do it, and then we submit the documents.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Whatever it is. But a shul, the in halacha, a shul that's owned by the tzibur. There's no potential for bal yeroi. Okay, so that's why many do not. Others say no. Others say that doesn't make a difference. You have to do a bedika because it doesn't make a difference. The bedika doesn't. There's a lot of lumdus here. Does the bracha of al bir chametz, is it dependent upon the potential to be oiver on bal yeroi and bal yemotz? It's a beautiful lumdus shavart. You're doing a bedika. Let's say there's no way in the world I can ever be over bal yeroi or bal yemotzei. Let's say I give you an example, a person, he knows for a fact the entire year he did not own a kezias of chametz. It never happened. You can prove it. He's been locked up in a prison, whatever it is. Let's say he's in his home. He's allergic to chametz. He never had a kazayas of chametz the entire year on his property. Thus, he knows as a fact, it's impossible to be oyver on bal yeirohe bal yeimotzei. Can he do a bedika? Can he make a bracha al bir chametz? It depends upon this machlokes. If you hold that the bracha of al bir chametz is because it's to save you from a potential, during the year I brought chametz into my home. I don't know, maybe it's not here. I cleaned up the whole house. So cleaning up is also, you start bedika early. You start 30 days before, you start cleaning, we discussed. It's all part of the bedika. But this potential, that's when you can make the bracha. But if there's no potential, then you can't make the bracha. So Beis HaKnesses, according to the Lamdis, that all of the chametz is jointly owned by the tzibur. And if the reality is, it's just not going to happen where you're going to have so much chametz that when you divide all the chametz among the members, each member is going to have a kazayis of chametz. So there's an impossibility for there to be bali or bali matzei. You can't make a bracha when you do a bedika on a Beis HaKnesses. But if you don't hold of that lamnis, that the mitzvah of bedika has nothing to do with potential of being over bali or bali matzei, then you can make the bracha no matter what. You can make the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses as well. The Mishnah Berurah says, so he says, v'yachoylin levarech. Somewhere in the middle. Some say yes, some say not. If you want, you can make a bracha. Halacha l'maisa, with what people do, it's very common, is people who are responsible for making the bedika, they're told, is that they should make the bracha in their home, on their own private home, with the kavana, that after they finish the bedika in their private home, they should immediately go to the Beis HaKnesses and do the bedika there. So the bracha they make on their home should be work for this facility where they're going to do the bedika. That's what's very, very common. And also that same one, this is a person has multiple homes. He owns 5 houses in Flatbush. He only make one bracha. You do the first house, you get in your car, you go to the second house, to the third house, to the fourth house, to the fifth house. One bracha is good on multiple locations, and you should attempt to be memayit in the mafsik between the bracha and the full bedika. And we all know it's very important, the person is not allowed to talk from the moment he makes the bracha until he does at least a very small part of the bedika. You make the bracha, and you take your candle, your flashlight, and you walk around at least for 2 minutes, for 60 seconds, maybe 1 minute, 60 seconds. Then, if you have a need, you can talk. It's a lot of things in halacha, you're allowed to talk. It's like eating food. You never saw a person ever in your whole life. He makes a bracha shahakal. He has in front of him a glass of water. So he makes a glass of juice, to make it simple. A glass of juice, he makes a shahakal. He takes a sip. And then you say to him, I want to talk to you about it. I have a question to ask you. Can't be mafsik. Because if I'm going to be mafsik, then I'm not going to be able to drink the rest of the glass of juice. I only taken a sip, and there's another 10 ounces left to go. Another, whatever, let's say 5 ounces left to go. If I'm going to have a conversation with you, how will I then be able to drink the remainder of the glass of juice? There's a hefsik between the bracha, shakol diabidvaro, and the remainder of the juice. So that's nonsense. Well, why is it really nonsense? Because we hold that once you make the bracha, and the bracha is chal immediately upon something, a teeny sip, I make a shahakol, and I take a teeny sip, the bracha was chal upon that teeny sip, that's good enough. Now you're allowed to take a break, and you're allowed to have a conversation, you're allowed to do something else, and you can come back and enjoy more food based upon the bracha you made 5 minutes ago. The same way that principle is true in regard to Birchas Hanenin, in truth, it applies to Birchas HaMitzvahs. When you lay in the Megillah, Asheri Kedushan B'mitzvot Tzvan Ral Mikra Megillah, okay, then you make Sh'asanis and Shechayanu, and you're laying 3 psukim, even 1 pasuk, and the telephone rings, or the doorbell rings, and someone wants to give you Mishloch Manos, or wants to have a conversation with you. Technically, you're allowed. Once I made the bracha, and the bracha was chal upon the first pasuk in the Megillah, so now it's it. I've started the mitzvah. It's like a glass of juice. I've taken a sip. Now I need to do something. I have the doorbell rang. Someone important came to deliver mishloach manos. I need to have a conversation. Derech Eretz. He comes in. He gives me mishloach manos. I get back. We talk. We schmooze. He leaves. Now I go back to the Megillah. I don't have to start again. I don't have to make a new bracha to continue. It's no different than Birchas Hanenin. Go another 5 minutes, then the phone rings. And this can go on the whole day until you finally finish the Megillah. Now, obviously, that's not ideal. That's not something that l'chatchila you want to do. We have a higher standard in Birchas Hamitzah. It's a much higher standard, and we're not mafsik. But we're not mafsik, not because it's also to be mafsik me'ikar hadin. According to many rishonim, achrayim, I don't know exactly who, it's not an ikar hadin. It's no different. There's no difference between the way we are knowing when it comes to Birchas Hanenin, food, and mitzvahs. You make a bracha. The bracha is chal upon a part of the mitzvah. If you have to be mafsik, you can be mafsik. And when you come back to be mashlim the mitzvah, you don't have to make another bracha, and it's not called a hefsik. We're machmir. You don't see people in the middle of the Megillah going and having conversations. Some want to say that's the reason why we're allowed to klap Haman. It's not called a hefsik. Because you're really allowed to be mafsik. There's no terrible thing to be mafsik in the middle of the Megillah. So Bedikas Chametz is probably one of the only places where we're very lenient in this matter. It's very, very common where people start the Bedika, you make the bracha, and you're not allowed to be mafsik from the bracha until you do a chelik of the Bedika. And then we see, look, everyone does this, and then after you start doing the Bedika for 10 minutes, you get tired, and then your wife asks you a question that's nothing to do with the Bedika. Or the phone rings, or something happens, and people talk. They talk, and they're mafsik, and they whatever. Why? Once the bracha was chal on the bedika, if you're mafsik, it's okay. When you finish your conversation, you go back to the bedika. They write into Chazonish. You went to Ma'ariv in the middle. You started the bedika. What?
That was good. Ask my wife to do.
The Chazonish. He went to Ma'ariv. That was his minute. He started the bedika. He started, and then whenever it was Marv, he went to Marv, he came back, and he finished the Bedika. So the same thing is, you make the bracha, you can go from house to house, from the shul, it's fine, but at least be very careful not to be mafsik from the bracha until you do at least part of the Bedika. Oh, that's right. If it's for the tzorcha of the Bedika, then you're allowed to be mafsik. Then you're allowed, it's not, that's called a hefsik. But you'd be very careful, you make the bracha, people make a bracha, al bir chametz, and then immediately the phone rings. Your cell phone rings. You're not allowed to answer. You're not allowed to answer. If you answer, it's a bracha levatala. You have to make a new bracha. It's pashat. You're not allowed to be mafsik between the bracha and the very beginning of the bedika. Okay, next quick issue. Okay. Putting out 10 pieces. Okay, the minig Yisrael is to put out 10 pieces in the Chayk Yaakov. He brings the name of the Raivit. I don't know which Raivit. There are three Raivits. There's the Raivit who argues in the Rambam, and there are another two Raivits. There are three Raivits. The Raivit said that this minig of putting out 10 pieces, get ready for this, is a minig noshim. Blow the belt. Put it like that. Okay? It's like the nastiest. They said this is a minig shtus. This minig to put out 10 pieces is a minig, he calls it a minig noshen. It's even worse than saying it's a minig shtos. It's as low as it gets. There's no makar for this. There's no makar for this, okay? So try to find the makar for this minig of putting out 10 pieces. However, that's not the way it works, Rabbi Yisai. There's no one that does, not that I know of. The minig is to put out the 10 pieces, whether you like it or not. This is the minig Yisrael. We put out 10 pieces. It's rooted in Yonei Kabbalah. We don't even begin to realize how even the biggest anti-Mekubal is influenced in our day and age under the rules of Kabbalah. It's in Yonei Kabbalah. We put out 10 pieces, Dafka 10. We search for it. We don't want. We're not so quick to be mevatel l'minig Yisrael. It's kinegad aser smachos. I don't know. These are Jewish people. Now the question over here is, what should be? How do you put out the 10 pieces? So there are different minhagim. Some are very makbid that the 10 pieces together should equal a kazayis. So you know they send the kits in the mail. Like, you know, they stop sending them, but the kits, I'm not so sure the kits in the mail added up to a kazayas. So they put in teeny little things. It's okay. It's some say you should do that. That's also fine. But it's I think the most common meaning is that together all the 10 pieces should equal a kazayas. What's a kazayas? Probably a half a slice of bread. Half a slice of bread is a kazayas. Certainly a whole slice of bread. So you start with a whole slice of bread and you divide into 10 pieces and you wrap it up in a way and be very careful that there should not form any crumbs. And also do not wrap it up too well, because then it's not going to burn. If you wrap it in aluminum foil, then you have a real concern that it's not going to burn when you throw it into the fire the next day. So you should wrap it up in a paper towel and with tape to make sure there are no crumbs, and for sure it's going to burn. And together, the 10 pieces should equal a kazayis, because one of the main reasons why we do the 10 pieces, because since Baruch Hashem, most people, by the time it comes, Bedika, there's no chametz in the house. They have nothing to burn. So it should not be a bracha levatala. Now, that's a chumrah, because even if you find nothing, the mitzvah is to do the bedika no matter what. But it's some want to learn that when you make a bracha, the bracha should be chal upon an object. So it's ideal that you have an object, which, this goes back to the lungs that we mentioned one moment ago, is that the bracha is to prevent you from being nichshol in bal yei rohe, bal yei matzeh. You're only going to be nichshol in bal yei rohe, bal yei matzeh if you find on Pesach a kezayis. So therefore you have to set yourself up to be oiver on bal yei rohe, bal yei matzeh, so when you do the bedikah, you can make the bracha. We just finished it in the shul. You can't make a bracha, because even if you'll find a lot of chametz, when you're going to divide it among the whole shul, all the members, everyone's going to be left with less than a kazayas. So you can't make a bracha. So in your home, when you do bedika, so there has to be potential, but don't settle for potential. Make sure you really have a kazayas. How do you have a kazayas? You have 10 pieces together equal a kazayas. Some say it's not good enough, because taking little pieces together, since each piece in and of itself is less than a kazayas, even though together it equals a kazayas, you're not over bal yei rohe bal yei matzeh. To be over and bal yei rohe bal yei matzeh, you have to be machmir. To be over, you have to have a kazayas sholein. Having 10 little pieces together, which make a kazayas, would not qualify to violate the law of bal yei rohe bal yei matzeh. So there are machmirim. There are people who are into these type of things. They put out big pieces. Each piece of chametz is the size of a half a slice of bread, and they wrap it up very well. So each piece in and of itself would give me potential to be over and bal yei rohe bal yei matzeh. Some are very bedafka, you should not do this. Bedafka, don't dare do this. Each be such a machmir, a briska, and put out 10 pieces, which are a kazayas a piece. Rely upon the shitas that say 10. You know why? What happens if you can't find one of those pieces? What's going to happen then? No, chametz gomor. Chametz nuksha, you're not chai value about yimotzeh. You have to be chametz gomor. So what happens if you don't find one of the... It happens more often than not. Believe me, it happens quite often. People call the rabbi. Rabbi, we put out 10 pieces. We can't find one of the pieces. What should I do? Keep on looking. Keep on looking. I'm surprised they don't have GPS trackers. Don't worry, the day will come. The day will come. They'll send you in the mail a kit, GPS trackers for your smartphone to know exactly where your 10 pieces are. What? As a chip, exactly. So the question, so some persons say, don't be so machmir that each piece should be a kazayas. Because if each piece is a kazayas and you lose one of the pieces, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. If together they equal a kazayas, and you lose one piece, you'll find nine. For sure you'll find nine. Right? The tenth one, you're not going to find. So the tenth one is not a kazayas. It's not a kazayas. So it's not a kazayas. So what's the problem? I'm a vatalit. I'm not a bal yei matzeh. Even if I'll find it on Pesach and I'll eat it, I'm not going to be chayef karas because less than a kazayas. So don't set yourself up for a disaster by having a piece that is a kazayas. That's one opinion. Others say no. Take risks. Life is all about taking risks. Yeah.
That we're going from nothing. You don't need anything.
Exactly. And then there's a middle opinion. Then there's another opinion that says you should put out all the pieces together. Bedafka should not equal a kazayas. Even together, take teeny little crumbs, because you don't even want to put out a kazayas. It's not the right thing. It's chametz. It's an isbal yobal yimotze. What are you looking for trouble for? Don't even put out a kazayas to begin with. And you mekayim the minute chametz is asur b'mashehu. There's no chiv karis, there's no chiv losa, there's no malchus, but it's aser. So to mekayim the minig of bedikas chametz, it's good enough. It's good enough to find real chametz. You have to make the bracha bedavka on the kazayis. I told this the lomdus. Mishnah Berurah says no. The bedika, you can make a bedika when it's even nothing. As long as there's potential, certainly a mashu of chametz is certainly good enough to make a bracha.
What if you sold your whole house?
Oh, then you can make a bedika. Or May, you mentioned this to me. Or May, you sent this text to me. Yeah.
And left over a room to be
vacant. Yeah.
Do you have to put that?
Yes, you do. Yes, the minog is yes. The minig is don't put 3 and 4 and 5 and say it's a small room, I only need 2 pieces. The minig is bedafka 10 pieces. Kabbalah.
You could put 3 pieces in one place.
Yeah. Yeah, right, it's true. 10 pieces. Why? I have no idea. And over here in the safe, this guy knows everything. Believe me, the guy knows everything. He also writes. He has no idea. This is whatever it is. This is Mesorah. This is Kabbalah. It's not something that we have any appreciation of. It's the Minhag Yisrael. It's rooted in the Yoni Kabbalah. And that's the whole world does. Listen, that's what the whole world does. You've got 10 pieces in a little teeny room. So you put out 10 little pieces, whatever it is. You put out in 10 pieces lying on the floor. You pick up the 10 pieces. This is the Minhag Yisrael. Okay, so we have over here. So basically, you have 4 Mahalchim, really 4 Shittas what to do. You think it was so simple putting out 10 pieces? I never thought it was so complicated. Either, what are you doing? Who told you to put out pieces? It's a minag noshim. This is like a minag shtus. Putting out. Second minag. Put out 10 pieces. Each piece should be together. Together. Be very careful. Together. All of your 10 pieces together should be less than a kazayas. Third shita. Yechayish for the man the Amma that holds to make a bracha al bir chametz, there must be potential of bali or bali yimotze. Bali or bali yimotze is only if there's a kazayas. So you have to. You can make the bracha once you have that potential. All the pieces together should equal a kazayas, and it's good enough. We'll be mitzdarif. And then there's the machmirim. You have to have potential. And you cannot be mitzarev a small little piece that's not good enough to be chayiv al yirub al yimotze. If you combine a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece there, you have to have a real piece, a real kazayas in one place. So you have to have 10 pieces. Each one in and of itself is the shear of a kazayas. Okay, 4 minhagim. Most people don't think. They just do whatever they do. They have no clue what they're doing. But obviously there are 4 minhagim. What?
If it goes from one extreme to the other, anything you do is going to match up to something.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Mamela. But from 1 year to the next year, you don't realize from 1 year to the next year, you may be doing something very different. You're not even paying attention to what you're doing. All depends which one of your children do you instruct to put out the pieces for you, right? You tell your daughter, she'll do it very, very good. You tell this son, he'll do a Shema. It all depends on who is putting out, like some people. Exactly where everything is. I used to always put it out. And 1 year on, my sister put it out. So she had a list exactly written up, exactly where everything is, bidiyuk, and wrapped up so nice. I would never have the patience to wrap up the pieces so nice and to write down exactly where you put everything. You know, everyone to each his own. Every person has a talent. They know the different ones. Okay, now, the next thing, next quick thing, what?
A couple of years ago was that a guy burned down the house because he was such in the community.
Every year, only a couple of years ago, every year there's a heart. Very careful. You have to be very careful. Obviously, sakon, it's a big problem. It's obviously a very, very big problem. It's a sakona. Chamida sakanto yoisa meisura. And you have to be responsible. Don't use a candle. Don't use a candle under the bed. It's a shtus. Use a flashlight. Okay, you shouldn't be using a candle more than 2 minutes. Most people that I know, they don't use a candle more than 2 minutes. They take a candle, they walk around a little bit. And then they switch to the flashlight for sakana. Remember sakana. You don't know. You think you're so careful. You can never be too careful. We live in a very dangerous world, and all the homes in Flatbush, they're old. They're all very old homes. They're not fireproof. Very old. You got to be very, very careful. You never know what could happen. Okay. Other people, they're very macro. They use a candle. Someone told me last week, no, they use a candle. They're careful. You know? So to each his own, you can't tell a person what to do. We say kol chamira. Okay, by the way, if you sell your house, you can't do the bedikah. If you sell your house, you're in trouble. Okay, that's why the rabbi, why do rabbis sell the chametz erev Pesach? Rabbis, they sell the chametz in the morning erev Pesach. So you'll tell me, I always thought the reason why is because people are shemazlik. The last guy always shows up. My father sells the chametz. Every single year, a guy would come to my father. People would come. My father was selling the chametz to the guy, as he's mamish selling, a guy, oh, Rabbi, can I sell my chametz? Yeah. Just write down your name. Yeah. We'll get you in here also. I'll get you the very list. And then after he finishes, someone shows up. Oh, I want to sell my chametz. Too late, right? So I always thought it was practical because people did not get around to selling their chametz. They're always latecomers. But the reason why you sell the chametz, the true reason why you sell your chametz, in the morning is because if you sell people's houses, not really sell, you're renting the house. You're never selling. You're selling chametz, but you're renting the location where the chametz is located. So if you rent your house to a guy, people go away to Eretz Yisrael, they go away to a hotel, they go to their children, they're not home, but they are going to be home lil yudalit. Many people, they go to a hotel. They get into the car, they go to the hotel, Erev Pesach. But they're home at night. So if you sell the whole home already, there's nothing there, they can't do a bedika. It's not their property. You only can do a bedika on your property. If your home has, the entire home has been rented to a non-Jew, you cannot do a bedika. So therefore, you have to be very careful to make sure that the rabbi did not really, the rabbis know, they don't sell the whole, they don't sell the chametz before bedikas chametz. So people who are selling their entire home should, or...
It's another problem. You sell your whole house and you're there in the house. And
you also can't do bedikah. There's nothing. Even when you sell, even the rule is also, if you're not going to own the home for Pesach, you also do not need to make bedikah. That's another issue. If you're going to sell your entire home, even though the rabbi did not yet sell the property to the guy, rent the property to the guy, you're not mechuyev to make a bedikah if this is not going to be your property on Pesach.
Right,
so we discussed this last week. So what do you do? If you're going to be home, in order to make the bracha, you have to tell the rabbi, I'm selling, the rabbi will tell this to you, if you're going to be home, you rent to the guy the entire home, except for one room. Pick a room that's not part of the rental. And in that room that you're not planning to sell, to rent to the guy the next day, that is where you make a bidik. That's very, very important. So people who are going away for Pesach, but will remain home the night of Yud Dalit, the night of Erev Pesach, when everyone does Bedikas Chametz, should instruct the rabbi, when he rents his home, leave over this one little room, and that little room you do Bedika. You put out the 10 pieces in that little room, and you make the bracha, and you do Bedika. What happens, we discussed last week, if you're leaving, you're going to already be in the hotel, or you're going to be by your children, already on the night of the 14th, you got a problem. You have a very, very big problem. What to do? So we discuss, if you're in a hotel, you're okay, because the hotel, you're paying for your room. You're paying for your room, you can do bedikah in your room, you can make the bracha. If you go to your children, so we discussed this, I told you should rent from your children. So I talk, so today we're reviewing, he holds even that's not so simple, if it even works. I don't know why I didn't go through the alumnus. It's not so simple. Even if you are a guest by your children for Pesach, and you've sold your entire house, and you're already by your children on the night of Yud Dalid, you have a real problem. You have a very hard time in halacha if you're really allowed to make a bracha. Some say you should rent from your children the room where you're sleeping.
Is it any worse?
A hotel?
Than a child. Let's say someone has adult children, do they have to make them a
bracha? No, they don't.
So you're the guest.
Right, okay, but people...
There's no chiyuv.
It's true, you're right, you're correct, you are 100% correct, but Just like you don't have to wear tzitzis. You don't have to wear tzitzis. Because you only have to wear it if you have a garment that has four corners, then you put on tzitzis. So I won't wear a garment with four corners. There is an inyan to put yourself in a situation where you do the mitzvah. So until a person gets married and becomes independent, the mitzvah didn't start for him. But once a person becomes an adult and he does the mitzvah every single year, and now Baruch Hashem is zeichet to have children of their own home, it's not an attitude, oh, Baruch Hashem, this year I don't have to make the bracha, I'll be your chametz, let my children make the bracha, and I'm done with the mitzvah. That's not a healthy attitude. What?
You can participate.
Right, so that's the other solution. The other solution is you should not just look away. That's for sure. If you've been making the bracha your entire life, don't use this as an opportunity to go out. I'll go to dinner, I'll go out, for, I'll go out, I'm not going to be home. It's not my problem anymore. That's not an attitude. Be home. Let the child make the bracha, the child, and answer amen to his bracha, and participate in the bidika with him, so you are fulfilling the mitzvah almost 100%. And some people know they want even more. I've made the bracha my whole life. I'm not going to make the bracha. It's painful for them. I'm not going to make the bracha. So then the solution is to rent the room where you're sleeping. It seems, I don't know, that not everyone is so crazy about that idea. I don't know why, what the problem is.
Question.
That's not the problem. Oh, come on, that's not
it.
Okay, Kol Chamira. Okay, just to wind down one last thing. Oh, just my God, that's some nice thing. My God, when you say Kol Chamira, you have to say, you say it at night, and my day at night, you only say in reference to the chametz that you are not aware of. Be very careful not to say the wrong Kol Chamira. There are two Kol Chamiras. There's a Kol Chamira for the night, and there's Kol Chamira for the day. Kol Chamira for the night is only the chametz that you are not aware of. And Kol Chamira by the day is, in addition to what you're not aware of, what you do know about. Why do you do that? Why do you do know about it? It really refers to the chametz that you're burning. That's really what it refers to, because sometimes when you burn the chametz, it doesn't get burnt. You can throw the chametz into the fire, and it doesn't get burnt. So you hope it gets burnt, but just in case it doesn't get burnt, you want to be mevatel that chametz as well. Or the other is a very strange thing.
A lot of people don't realize that just because you put in chametz, you get a nice piece of toast.
That's right. It's good. Most chametz is pretty good when it's finished. So it's edible. So you have to say in kol chamira, in the chametz that I do know about. Now, what happens if at night you say the wrong kol chamira? You're in a lot of trouble. Because now that you've mevatel all the chametz that you do know about, so then you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of burning. It's a minhag. It's a minhag to burn the chametz. It's rooted in Kabbalah. I mean, rooted in halacha, beer to destroy the tashvisu, but bittul also would work. The minhag Yisrael is you burn the chametz. You cannot be mekayim the minhag if you don't own it. So you have to reacquire it. If by mistake you recite the wrong Kol Chamira at night, the chametz that I know about, which happens very often, people don't even know what they're saying, and they say, v'yadanale, v'lo yadanale, so then they're not going to be able to fulfill the minhag tomorrow morning by taking the chametz and burning it. It's not mine, it's hefka. You have to make a kinyan, make a statement. I hereby, I'm acquiring the chametz, it's my property. You acquire it once again, so that the next morning you can go and you can be Mekayim the minute. Okay, the last thing is, you make the yes, you say three times. Why three times? I don't know. That's the minhag, and to say it in Aramaic. To say it in Aramaic, I'll tell you a beautiful idea. We're running out of time. We say it in Aramaic. Why? Tradition, we say, even though almost no one knows what these words mean, Kol Chamira v'chamira, even the Daf Yomi had the word on Shabbos, Chamira. It's very bizarre. Shabbos, Hagol, and Daf Yomi had the word Chamira, yeast. The Gemara is sugya yeast, and called Chamira is yeast. And that all the poets can say, in addition to reciting it three times in Aramaic, you should recite it at least one time in English, Yiddish, Hebrew, French, Spanish, your native language. Any language which you are familiar and comfortable with, you should recite the translation of Kol Chamira in that language. So you're basically going to be saying it four times. You're going to be saying it in Aramaic three times, and then you're going to be saying it in English one time to know exactly what you are saying. If you don't say it in English, it's also good because you know what you're doing. Basically, I'm being mevatel. Whatever these words mean, it means, and I'm being mevatel it, but it's good that you should know what you're being mevatel. Okay, there's running out of time. There's bittul and there's hefker. There are two different types of ways to be mevatel. You can use the word bittul, and hefker. We say both. Libotel v'lehave hefker ka'afra da'ara. They're two different principles in halacha. It's a very complicated sugya. We're out of time. We can't do it. But basically, we're makbid to do both. We do bitul and hefker. Bitul l'cho'ira is stronger than hefker. If you mafker something, the very next moment, technically, it becomes your property. As long as it's in your home, it becomes yours once again. What have you accomplished? There's chametz in the house. I am mafker it. Okay, it's no longer yours. But now, where is it? It's in your home. Your chotzer automatically acquires it. So it's out of your possession for a split second, if not even that. Bittul is a concept in halacha which prevents your property from reacquiring it. So we say the word bittul. So you ask, if you're saying bittul, why bother saying hefker? Okay, so the other because there's an element of I don't know the answer to this, but there are things that bittul, there's a weakness in bittul that only hefker can do. I don't know why and what it is, and that's why if we have the best of both worlds, we say bittul and hefker. Maybe it's because shlichus. You can't make a shaliach to do hefker, but you can appoint a shliach for bittul. So let's say you're being mevatel the chametz of your children, of your wife, other people's chametz in your possession. If you only would use the word bittul, you cannot be an agent to do bittul, but you can be an agent for hefker. Think something along those lines. There are advantages in the use of the word hefker, and there are advantages in the concept of bittul. In order to get both together, we use botel, v'lehevei hefker, ka'afra da'ara. Both terms are critical. Okay, last vart, and just to lead into that, I'm going to take a short break. This is a very beautiful vart, and it spans bidika and holach ma'anya. The nusach that we use for biur is Aramaic. Ha kol chamira v'chamia. Chamira is chametz. Chamia is yeast. The ikor b'deshuse dechazite. That's in my possession, and I know I did not see. V'chulu. Aramaic. How does the Haggadah start? Holachma. You notice we go from Aramaic to Aramaic. The last thing that we do before the last mitzvah that we do before Pesach begins is biur chametz, and then we go into Pesach and we begin with holachma anya. Also Aramaic. Aramaic. Why Aramaic? So he says here a beautiful idea. It's not so simple to take food and burn it. It's bal tashchis. And even if it's not bal tashchis, food is a bracha. No, it's not so simple to have food to go with. Even a crumb. We're brought up. You don't waste food. You don't waste food. Food is a bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a simple thing. Lashon HaKodesh is a very holy language. It's the language with which Hashem created the world. There's power, there's potency in the language. We would expect to recite the nusach of Kol Chamira in Hebrew. That's the basic language for a Jew. Kol Chametz Usa'ar D'yesh Li Birishusi Yehei Botel V'yehei Hefker. Why are we going backwards to use Aramaic? You'll tell me, because in Taiwan, the Goinim formulated the Nusach, that was the common language. It was English for them. All right, that's a very good answer, but it's much deeper. Hebrew is powerful. It's a bezoyon to the food to use such powerful words to destroy the food. Hashem gave you food. It's a tremendous bracha. You come in Erev Pesach and I have extra leftover food. I have to now negate it. I'm going to take out a nuclear bomb and destroy it. It's a delicate thing to take away, to dismiss a bracha that Hashem gave you. Don't use Lashon HaKodesh to reject the bracha that Hashem gave you. We use a language that's second class. Because, you know, it's too painful for us to reject bracha. Lashon Kodesh, it's frightening. I'm going to use the holy language to reject the bracha that Hashem gave me? I can't do that. You're embarrassed, so to speak, to reject the bracha that Hashem, you have no choice, because that's the mitzvah. but you're embarrassed. So we use a delicate language, a language that's Aramaic, which is second class, which takes away the sting of what we're doing by rejecting the food. This answers why we recite Hol Lachma Anya in Aramaic. Why do we eat matzah? Two reasons. Cheirus, and it's poor man's bread. So when we discuss Cheirus, matzah zu, shana oichel malshum shloi hispik bitzekem lahachmitz, that's the matzah of Cheirus. But we also eat matzah, Hol Lachma Anya diachola vosona ba'aridim shayim, poor man's bread. How dare you? How dare you insult the bread? You have a piece of bread, be happy you have what to eat. In the Holocaust, in Auschwitz, they'd be very, very happy someone gave them a piece of matzah. To have something what to put in their stomach. How do you go and sit by the Seder and be mevazeh the food? Oh, here's the matzah. Holachma anya. This is the poor man's bread that our forefathers ate as slaves in Egypt. Believe me, be very happy they had what to eat. Because there are people in the world that don't even have that. How can you be mevazeh? And then you talk about the poor. Kol dichve in yesev yivsev kol ditzrich. All the homeless schnorrers come into my house. I'll give you a free meal. Yeah, you mevazeh them. It's such a bizarre, it's so humiliating that there are people in Klal Yisrael that don't have what to eat. They have to come and take a handout. And you want to compound it? You want to knock him out by using Lashon HaKodesh also? You want to use Lashon HaKodesh? To go and to emphasize, to use the holy language to bring out that this bread is garbage and these people, they're mamish and mechis darga, they're the lowlifes, they're helpless people. You want to compound? Chas v'sholom. We're embarrassed almost to say that it's lachmanya. Menela, the sensitivity not to do it, we use a second-class language. It's almost like you're whispering. When you don't use Lashon Kodesh and you use Aramaic, it's like I'm embarrassed. I'm whispering. It's poor man's bread. There are poor people who need a place to eat. So come, you can come. I'm very gracious. Come. Don't think about that you're poor. Don't focus on that. You're very rich tonight. Come. It's a very delicate approach to appreciating what you don't put something down. Don't use Lashon Kodesh. We're going to take a short break.